You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug and mother plugger. Go plug yourself.
Basically, that's what
that's
you need.
That's known as battery in most places.
All right, yeah,
is this plugged in, or is that – I don't know if that's plugged in or not.
It definitely
– Keith, wasn't the whole point of that thing was so that you could stick it on the back of your computer?
Yeah, but it falls off and it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
When it falls off.
So now it's better.
It glows, though. It glows.
It glows.
Until we have Morgan back on and he's supposed
to
be
Yeah, no, exactly. But right now, so there's no beer near it, which
I'm
excited
near
about.
Enough, man. That's good.
Well, don't touch my fucking beer. How about that?
Maybe I will.
Holy shit!
Welcome back to the
show,
Kyle J. Ouellette.
I believe that is almost my name.
Yeah. With Kyle J. Ouellette.
Yeah.
Kyle, we're back here today with Kyle, Justice League of America.
Oh, sweet. I've
Yay!
Been upgraded.
Nice. Sweet bear wine.
Yeah, Kyle is a two-time.
Oh my God,
Gus, go plug yourself.
I'm a twofer. How many? How many twofers have you got on this podcast?
Basically, everybody.
The fact
that you haven't done two episodes yet sort of just reflects on how shitty you are.
Oh, it's true. Okay.
Heel turn.
Oh my God, it started already. Shit.
1 minute in, Walter. Walter's already gone full.
I'm sorry.
Can I just hurl my microphone to the floor and leave in disgust?
Totally.
I'm just driving it as far as I can go before it gets punches me. Like, that's what I'm going for at this point.
Good,
really.
Nice. No, as far – okay, so there's been Betts was on twice.
Betts was on twice?
Yeah, and Mike P was on twice.
Mike P's been on, like, five times.
No, Mike
so I'm
been on
part
twice.
Of an exclusive
only
club, is what you're saying.
No, Mike was on, like, at least three times.
No, he was on once solo and then once
twice. He came on with Betts, but there was nothing more than that.
Yep.
And Stevie was on.
Stevie wasn't on any podcast anymore.
Technically.
Stevie, I think the only podcast that's currently available that involves Stevie is the Betts Farewell
episode.
Did
you actually take down other stuff?
Yeah, I took down the first one too.
Did he ask you to do that?
Yeah, but this is not. Yeah. Well, he was like, if you could. And I was like, whatever. I just blocked
it.
Oh,
I thought, like, because the last we spoke about that, I thought you weren't doing that.
I have literally no idea what's going
on. Well, I wasn't going to remove
it. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. Okay,
okay, I'm sorry.
You sit there and wait for the questions.
Gotcha. No, sorry. I'm being a bad guest.
Being a bad guest again, Kyle.
Yeah. Exactly. This is the preamble.
This is not going to be a.
This is where Andy and Conan talk, and you sit there quiet.
You're right. You're right. I'm terribly sorry.
It's the monologue.
I'm sorry about making this about me. I didn't know that.
The fucking Kyle Ouellette trilogy is never going to happen at this fucking rate. I'm just saying.
This podcast is called Walter and Keith and Sometimes a Friend.
And sometimes some guy that won't shut up.
Full heel turn. Hashtag Walter's a heel.
Hashtag Walter goes Lawler.
Walter goes Lawler. I wish
Jerry Lawler would go back to full heel announcer. He's just like, he's nothing announcer now. He's post heart attack.
No, but he's also, he's full face. He's full face.
But so is Goal. Goal isn't a heel. Lawler isn't a heel. You don't have any fucking heel announcer.
What you need is Dusty Rhodes.
What you need is JBL on every broadcast
No,
ever.
Dusty Rhodes.
Once again, I have literally no idea.
Pro wrestling, Kyle.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes.
All right. Today we have Kyle Ouellette on. He's going to talk about some jokes and some comedies.
We have a new show coming
I've got a new sketch comedy troupe.
A new sketch comedy troupe. You fired the old one?
kind of. In the sense that the old sketch comedy troupe just stopped doing things after a while, and then after a while, like, I guess we just like, oh, I guess we're all dead then. And then so my old sketch comedy troupe was, of course, the Dancing Cock Brothers.
Yeah.
We did stuff for a good 4 years, and we had fun. Now I've got a new sketch comedy troupe called Get Off the Stage.
That's a good name.
Yes.
Any punctuation in that title?
I don't think so. We might put an exclamation point in there, but I think
you gotta
it's probably
you got
to
do it like Godspeed, though, and move the exclamation point around.
Move it around, exactly.
So it's like, get!
Yeah,
off the stage. And like,
yeah,
get
yeah.
off!
Yeah.
The stage.
It's a,
period.
But they're Montreal too, right? So it's like you don't want to take too much from that. I don't want Ephraim to show up the show and be like, oh, we did that first. You know,
we moved the exclamation point around. Yeah. But the thing is, but are you afraid
you know a guy named Ephraim?
Well, is the guy from Godspeed?
Godspeed, Black Emperor. Black Emperor, yeah. Or Godspeed, you, Black Emperor.
Godspeed,
as
you,
as the case may be.
Black Emperor.
Yeah.
No. So are you ever? Are you worried though?
Am I?
Are you worried that
I'm worried all the time, Keith?
I know you're taking anti-anxiety medication.
I'm in a constant
right
state
now.
Of
you and Walter both are very worried
exactly
today.
You take anti-anxiety medication?
Oh yes, of course.
What's that? What do you take?
Just latching on to the awkward stuff.
I see you're googling it as I'm trying to think of it.
What do you take? What are the side effects?
I was gonna ask you if I could mooch a pill or like if I could grind one up and snort it.
I think the idea is to go to a doctor and then they help. No, okay, we don't want to do with that. No,
I'm a doctor.
I'm trying to remember. I have no idea. I can't remember what they're called.
You realize?
I know
this.
I know.
We do this to ourselves. Yeah. Like with this nonsense.
What now?
The anxiety thing.
It's an SSRI. I can tell you that. I don't know.
What's that? Like
a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor is what it is, Walter. That's science, right there.
Serotonin was a good thing.
Yes, but you want to selectively inhibit the reuptaking of it because that does something.
As soon as you talk serotonin, I'm just sort of like, so how much like ecstasy is it?
As I understand it, it is 85% ecstasy.
Yay!
And then 15% sugar pill. So it's basically an ecstasy placebo.
Is there any buzz?
Buzz? No. It's fucking because it gets you like it fucks you up for the first like month you're taking it, and then you sort of forget that you're. That's, I mean, it's an antidepressant. It's not supposed to be a happy pill. It's supposed to be like a not shitty pill.
It works for a month and it stops.
But if you crush it up and you kill the time release on it.
So that's. You're delving into an area that I haven't experimented with yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. You can take these pills for a while.
Just give it a while, and then I think you know.
Adolescent Keith there.
Exactly. Give me enough misery in my life, and we'll
crush them up and shoot them straight up my nose. See what that does.
Dr. Heisterman, I think I'm going to go and follow through with this plan of yours.
Right.
Dr. Heisterman sounds like the name of a war criminal.
It probably is on some level.
For you listening at home, do not Google Dr. Heisterman. You will unearth some fucking family stories that I'd rather not share.
Oh, dear. Song. Oh, dear.
Let's just say that my family and I spent some time in Argentina.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Like the Pope.
Hey!
Yeah,
anyway, no, so reference. Are you worried at your show when your comedy troupe picks up and you have, like, thousands of rabbit fans that people will be like.
Did you say rabbit or rabbit fans?
Let's say both. Rabbit.
So they multiply quickly, so that makes it. Yeah.
Well, and then you'll be so confused because like you'll come out, you'll say a line, and then people will start cheering, get off the stage, and then you're like, oh no,
this is okay.
They've
so
turned.
We thought about this. It's like when we came up with the name "Get Off the Stage," we're like, it's good because if people shout it, it's good, right? Like as whether we suck or whether we're awesome, people yelling "get off the stage" can only help things. So I think that works. Are you pushing buttons? Should I be pushing buttons?
No. I muted my microphone when I belched.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I keep telling him it's funnier that way, but he's like, no, bro.
Yeah, it sounds really unprofessional when you burp directly into the thing. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going
to
do it.
listen very closely to the thing that I'm not going to do.
Yes. Okay. Some more visual gags from Walter.
Yeah. Listen.
No, but it was actually a process trying to get this sketch troupe together. It's myself, Ryan Hipgrave, who was a member of the Dancing Cock Brothers.
Is he part Hipgrave?
And a new man by the name of Timothy Diamond. Let me try that again.
Hipgrave? Is he related to the Hippogriff?
I believe he is. I
Did
think
you just drop a Harry Potter reference?
I think
a hippogriff is a fucking fantastical animal.
It's amazing.
Way before fucking Harry Potter ever
came
along.
It's like part hippo and part griff, I believe.
No, I don't understand where the hip comes from, but it is. It's like a griffin.
Yeah.
A horse monster, isn't it?
You know, it's like a horse, but like with wings and like a monster. Fucking lion face.
Yeah.
Are you sure that exists outside of the Harry Potter universe?
Hippogriffs?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The short answer is yes.
Yes.
He is, in fact, a hippogriff. He's not he's not just related to. He is, in fact, he's a mythical beast.
Nice.
So it is myself, another actor, and a mythical beast on stage.
No, but it's Tim Diamond, who I believe is made of diamonds.
So it's
yourself, a man made of diamonds, and a mythical beast.
Well, he's not so much made of diamonds as he can turn into diamond like Emma Frost, right? So it's like just boom, and then it does block his psychic abilities, but, you know, what are you going to do, right? Like, if you want to be all shiny and have a heart.
And then he turns into diamond, and you hit him with a hammer, and then you rain diamonds upon the audience.
They love that.
the audience goes apeshit.
I don't want to give anything away, but that's the closer. So we're ready for that.
It sounds like you have a hell of a comedy troupe.
It was a bit of a chore to put it together because the Dancing Cock Brothers, you know, my sketch troupe that I was very fond of, that we
immediately chasing an energy drink with a beer. A little gross.
Why not? Yeah.
A little gross.
You're the one who did it.
I know.
And you did it willingly, knowing.
I'll do it again.
It's not the first time you've done it either, Keith. You should have known what was going to happen.
Those beer energy drinks went off the fucking market. This is why, Keith. You remember? Molson had one. Labatt had one.
Isn't Four Loko still existing?
No, Four Loko.
Four Loko was malt liquor. And,
is it? Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember those?
Yeah, they were awesome.
They were terrible. They tasted like mead.
But I think
but
the
you
idea
drank
is
them real fast.
You want to get the energy of it so you can continue drinking even though you're getting
it's the safest way to make energy.
I believe
drinks,
well
so
the
vodka.
Way I understand it is that the energy drink is a stimulant, the alcohol is a depressant. So when you put them together, it just kind of cancels each other out.
Exactly.
It's like you're drinking nothing.
You know what I had?
What actually happens though? I just want to finish up. Is this about energy drinks?
Yes.
Ooh. Do tell, sir.
I try to eat better and lay off on the carbs. So
now you say that, but you started today with like a full Irish breakfast,
fair,
including like seven Guinnesses.
It's the only meal
and,
I've had today.
And like with,
exactly,
and,
you start off with the big meal at the beginning of the day.
Oh, that's and then you're
and
done.
You just like work it off the rest of the day. That's how it works.
They recommend that. In science.
Surgeon General.
Yeah.
Dr. Heisterman.
Surgeon General. It's just sitting there with a plate of like seven fried eggs like, and a tankard of Guinness.
At the most, it was three fried eggs. But we went to go hang out at Leland's hotel room. And
why does Leland have a hotel room?
Because we were in Toronto together.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I was still thinking this was this morning.
You started out this morning in Toronto?
No, I started.
Yeah, I also was thinking that
we were
this
talking
is
about fucking energy drinks, and they reminded me of this incident last weekend where I thought it would be a good idea to buy a 4-pack of Red Bull Zero.
Yep.
Because Red Bull Zero,
no,
zero cals.
Cals.
No sugar.
Cows are the devil.
Okay.
But all of the caffeine kick.
The taurine and
all
whatever.
All of the energy kick. And mixed it with about 3/4 of a bottle of vodka.
All right.
And how never that, gone badly for
now,
you in the past,
no,
either.
No,
energy drinks and vodka have never, ever bitten you in the
how,
ass.
How well did this go for you, Mr. Lang?
Okay, here's the funny thing.
Oh,
let's
is it? Okay.
Let's
hear the punchline.
Let's talk about the pros.
Yes.
Almost no hangovers.
Okay. All right, that's good.
Yeah, because you okay. The thing
check.
About the energy drink vodka mix, right, is the I don't know if this is what Walter experienced, is the big danger that everybody, like, warns of it,
yep,
is that you will get so drunk where your body should pass out.
Yes.
But the taurine and caffeine is just like, nope, you're not
it's
passing
just,
out, so you're like, I'm
drinking.
Still going.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I did pass out.
Yeah.
So,
but
let
me just,
probably
let me just
later,
tell everyone out there that's
way,
bullshit because I did pass out.
Probably way later than you otherwise would have, though.
Right, because I'm kind of I'm surprisingly lightweight when it comes to these things a lot of the times. Yeah, it was rough.
It was rough. This happened before, though. I don't understand why you did this.
There was a big, there was a lot of, you know, next day people just telling me about shit that happened. That was like, no, you don't say, really. Like,
fascinating. Yeah, one of the first times I met Walter, John had brought bunch of cans of like the real Four Loko.
The real Four Loko, not like
the actual Four Loko, yeah, as opposed to what?
Well, because now Four Loko
is fraud. Four Loko.
No, Four Loko
has
been neutered now,
the,
right?
Has it?
Yeah,
it
yeah, yeah.
The energy component.
Oh my god!
It's just sugar.
So
more caffeine.
It's just Loko without the four or something.
No.
Yeah.
They still call it Four Loko.
I don't know
why
they call it the four because the four was to signify the four kinds of accelerants.
But what you're saying is I can't go out and get schlitzed on Four Loko anymore because it's not real Four Loko.
Yeah, you can't get bonkers anymore.
Okay.
It's still, but it's that being said, it's still like 11.5%
alcohol. It's still like drinking a sugary bottle of wine.
Okay.
You'll still get drunk.
You'll get drunk, yeah.
Mm. Well, that's the important part. That's what I wanted to know.
Then, and Walter was like, so John brought these cans,
yes,
and then like gave them out apparently like willy-nilly at the party to just like whoever would take them.
Yeah.
And
I want to get everyone fucked up tonight.
Fucking grape.
Yeah, exactly. And it did it. It kind of like we've always joked that it had about a 50% kill rate.
Yep.
Because it's like,
what does that mean? A 50%
like
kill rate.
Six people had it, and three of those people had terrible side effects, and three people were
like severe diarrhea and like
yeah, we'll run through the list. So
okay,
it was like me,
yep,
Scott, and John were just sort of like, this is weird feeling.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Okay.
And then it's like.
I mean, isn't that what you're looking for? What you're drinking is to feel good on some level. It's like it's.
But you didn't really feel good. You kind of got jittery. You had a bit of a tummy ache, and you're like.
It's like you've drunk a can of Ebola, right? It's just sort of like it's like this is why did I do this? Like,
so we powered through.
Yeah.
And what mention what I was drinking previous to.
We're gonna get to Walter. You're the climax of the story.
Okay.
Walter. So
I'm
DDR.
Excited.
DDR was like,
I'm gonna ask for all this to be cut out of this episode.
DDR was like, this isn't so bad. Falls asleep like fucking instantly for some reason. With the strange because the accelerants. Then wakes up and he's like, I think I'm good to go, guys. Heads to the bathroom. Vomits fucking everywhere. Yep. And he's like, I'm going home. And then just left.
Okay.
Mark without telling anybody.
Mark, which Mark are we talking about? Here?
My roommate.
Okay.
You don't really know him.
All right.
Mark drank the can of Four Loko.
Yes.
Got a little zany.
Yep.
And then left in the middle of the party, it was the middle of the winter.
Yep.
Not taking his hat, his jacket, his scarf, or anything.
Yep.
Walked back to his apartment, which was at Villa Maria.
What?
And just like wandered away and was like, you know, and he was talking about it. He's like,
it's like
not
Captain Scott just walking out in the Antarctic. He's like, I have to sacrifice myself for the good of the mission.
And he talks about it. He's like, man, I just knew that I wanted to like just go to bed. And he's like, I didn't feel the cold. I didn't feel anything. It was just like fucking zombified.
I've got the Four Loko powers, man.
Exactly. Walter got up.
Wait a second. Hang on. Your roommate had to go away from your house to somebody else.
He used to be my roommate.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He moved out by then.
All right. Well, okay.
Walter.
He moved out that
Walter
night.
Had the dubious distinction of the drink that he was drinking before the Four Loko was vodka and
Monster.
Amp.
It was ghetto band.
It was like ghetto Four Loko. It was like
yeah, he was
like,
making like, his,
like Walter just like poured like energy drink and like and booze into a giant pitcher and then mixed it with a paint stirrer.
No.
Just sort of like drank the fat down.
I call it vodcamp.
Okay, vodcamp.
It's really good.
Yep.
Pro tip, it's super good.
Walter, the Four Loko was purple.
Yep.
Walter grape Four Loko.
Like purple drank.
Purple drank.
Yeah.
Walter threw up off the balcony,
yes.
Which was amazing because the next morning you saw splashes of purple hitting everybody's balcony on the way down. I live on the fifth floor.
Yep.
And then a big, big purple splash in the snow. On the bottom. I was like, he hit everybody's balcony on
there's
the way down.
Just as
so
an aside.
Food dye in that product, man.
As an aside, I remember once myself and Mark Hooper were at a party and we decided that we would do a little bit of a bullseye vomiting competition.
Ooh.
Because we both knew that we were quite sick, so we stood on the balcony. And then we just
the
like
trigger?
It's like you see that a bunch of azaleas over there. All right,
did you pull the trigger.
Beat
or did
that.
Puke come naturally.
We pulled the trigger, boy. Right. Yeah, no, we
you
like
know
it
that
was.
Expression?
Yeah, it was.
I do that all the time.
Listen,
how do you think I keep this dainty frame?
Hey,
yeah, exactly.
No, you don't even know. I'm just like, if I feel sick, drunk, I will never try to sleep it off. I will just fucking shove something down my throat and puke.
That's
actually,
you might as well just
stage,
like, yeah.
That's just bulimia. If you do it, quote, all the time.
Not all the time. But like, you know when you're like, when you close your eyes and the head's fucking spinning and all that stuff and you're like,
yeah,
this is.
It's called Thursday.
Yeah, I know. That was yesterday for me. I didn't do it yesterday. I walked it off. I walked home from the bar and it was good.
Yeah.
You literally make yourself puke. Time you feel dizzy and spinny and shit.
If I feel really gross and I know it's liquid fucking just like I was like I feel
if you know that it's just sort of like all it's gonna take is two fingers down the throat and then I'll feel fine.
Yeah, and then you're really like and it's good.
Because
you even sober up.
You, it
sometimes
sobers you up.
You're ready to party afterwards.
Exactly.
You're like,
yeah.
Alright, I'm back.
Yeah.
Let's fucking hit this.
Can I tell you one thing? I now if we're talking vomiting here, I don't like it when people don't understand the proper vomiting etiquette. I've never thrown up on myself ever because I know when I'm going to throw up and I go and like I take care of it. You go to the bathroom, you go outside, you do something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's just like
I'm the cleanest thrower upper in the world.
I know. It's good. I've seen you. You're a master. I learned from you.
I vomit. If anything spills outside of the bowl, I will wipe it. I will clean it.
Yeah.
I will just and it's done.
Yeah.
If there's a bit of mouthwash.
Yeah.
I'm awesome.
Yeah.
I fucking vomit.
Was apparently a really good throw upper. Wes Patterson.
I think Wes and I have thrown up at the same party one time.
Yeah,
You know what? In this day and age, where we've got competitive eating, you know, we've got competitive
vomiting.
So competitive vomiting. Come on, man! You can corner the market. I mean, like,
but I can't do it on command. I was like, I really wish that I could, like, without the fingers.
I really wish I knew how to vomit on command.
Yeah, without the fingers. If I was like, I'm feeling sick, and just be like, I'm just, it would be awesome.
Catherine stole a story.
Or just cause, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Catherine stole a
knock,
story.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Thank you.
You've been a great audience.
I really want to tell this anecdote.
Catherine, tell the story about Wes.
Wes vomiting here.
Wes, okay, another guest of the show.
Wes is a previous. Has Wes been on? Has Wes been on? Yeah.
Yeah, like, we had Wes and Nick, aka the two speaking members of Mikasa.
Previous occasions about Wes. They were like a 16, 17 year old Wes.
But might be 14 or 15. Because nobody knows Wes is true age.
Throws up at a party, and proceeds to clean up the whole mess. And then do a load of laundry.
No, but that's because he threw up all over. He threw up on laundry, though.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because then what was it? Someone threw up on laundry at some point.
It's not so bad if you throw up on the dirty laundry that already has to be white. It's like if it's already folded and like, God damn it. I just have to go through this process again. I have to use another token. Okay. This washing, it says it has 24 loads. It really means 18. Right? You have to go and use that again. God damn it.
But the worst is when you tear open the dry cleaning bag and throw it up into that. You know, they're just came back from this. Because it's like you're looking for something to go.
This is the voice of experience talking again.
Like, let me tell you about this time. I drank vodka and zero cal Red Bull in Toronto. Had my dry cleaning delivered, threw up into the bag.
I did not vomit that night.
Ooh.
I did not vomit.
Well played, sir. I would have probably made myself vomit.
I had a couple chicken nuggets.
Yep.
And, yeah. I had some mystery brews. This is the next day, but apart from that,
Mystery brew. What is that? It's like,
mystery
like,
brews.
Oh, mystery bruises. Bruises. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like mystery brew. As in like, just people just like, tear the labels off the beer.
My like, right ear. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
Did you in Leland wrestle?
No, but apparently I ninja rolled down his hotel hallway.
That might be the answer right there.
I
think
a ninja rolled.
Describe
a ninja roll.
Give you a bruise anywhere, really.
Just somersaulting? Or like jumping somersaulting?
Teleporting. You'll have to actually. It's like a sort of a nightcrawler move.
Huh? So you'll have to ask Catherine about the details on that.
I literally don't know.
Alternatively, we're going to go across the street, grab a 4-pack of Zero Cal Red Bull.
Oh, we'll just reproduce the event.
Like, I'll do a podcast where we're all just gun through a pack of Red Bull Zero with about two-thirds of a bottle of vodka.
Yep.
And we'll see like what the results are. And then depending on what happens and how many racial slurs come out of me, I'll ask you to like to keep the podcast up or not.
That'd be the best.
Do you ever edit the podcast? For the most part, it just seems to be like it's extreme consciousness.
As little as possible.
Yeah.
Well, we were supposed to do that with what's her fucking name? I feel bad. Deanne. Deanne was like, I really want to get super shit-faced and do the podcast on an afternoon.
It's fun, isn't it?
But just, like, drunk. She's like, we could be really drunk and we could tell sad stories about ex-lovers.
Yeah.
And I was like, this would be the best, saddest podcast ever.
In a way, you take the entertainment out of it on some level, but it's like, it's fun to do, at least. Not so much to listen to afterwards, but...
I think it might be fun to listen to.
It's potentially.
I gotta
right?
say though, I know I'm dwelling on this topic, but I think this past time in Toronto with my, you know, like that's probably been my most positive experience to date.
Drinking?
Mixing hard liquor and energy drink together.
Right.
It usually ends as that.
Even though you came out, you had mysterious.
You know what it was?
Ninja wounds.
They were so minus. Okay. So minor, you know.
But you know what? You know why? It's the calories.
It's the calories.
The calories are what fucking send you into a tailspin. You take the calories out of the equation, and the vodka and the Red Bull just comes together perfectly.
It's magic. You know what? Fun fact. Red Bull Zero doesn't taste that bad. You know? Like, you'd think it'd be really shitty.
I'm not sure if I believe you.
I'm telling you. Have you ever had, like, a vodka Red Bull?
I think I... Yes? Yes? Yeah. Yes, I have.
Like a vodka Red Bull. Yeah. Surely.
Surely anyone has.
Surely.
You have.
Exactly. There's someone who's.
You throw in the,
yes,
you,
I have, and don't call me
you
Shirley.
You substitute with Vodka Zero. Sorry.
Vodka Zero. Vodka Zero.
I want to have that. But you substitute with. Evan just walking through the room here with a box of St. Patrick's Day cheer. yeah, but I'm telling you, you substitute with
heads
the,
of
the,
severed,
with the
severed
Red
heads
Bull
of children.
Zero. And. It doesn't taste that different. Also, I'll tell you now, vodka Red Bull, don't try ordering that here at Grumpy's where we record because you won't get it.
Yeah.
You know what you also can't get here at Grumpy's?
any bombs?
A blowjob.
Sort
of? Well, Jägermeister of any kind.
Okay.
They just do not have Jäger. No Jäger behind the bar. Why?
Because they don't serve douchebag drinks.
Exactly.
too many Americans are we just trying to kick
exactly.
out.
People come in, they're like, round of Jäger. They're like, we don't serve that drink or your kind.
Please leave. Exactly. Just get out.
The best was when Rand told me once is like sometimes people come in here ordering Jäger bombs and shit. Like, and they'll order the Jäger bomb. Or no, fucking Irish car bombs, right?
Right.
So they'll order an Irish car bomb, and like
that's just a horrible drink. It's horrible on every level.
And Ram will be like, "No, not happening." Yeah. And he's like, "Well, no, we don't do that." Or no, we can't do that. And then the person will walk away, and Ram's like, "The best is when they look behind me, see that all the ingredients are clearly available, like within like reaching distance, and they're like, but all the stuff is there."
So what I find interesting about the Irish car bomb is when you look at it, like it's a reference to the IRA,
yeah.
right? Okay, and about the murder of innocent civilians, yeah. right? And it's the sort of thing.
It
it's like
to the quality of the drink,
but
really.
Like it's like people order it, like it's like it ain't no thing. It's like a lot of it's like you walk in, it's like I'd like a Hiroshima, please. Okay,
no,
like
okay. But you say that. You say that though, but like one
can
of the
I
most
have an ethnic
one,
cleansing? No,
one of the most popular sushi rolls is the kamikaze.
It's true, okay, there you
which
go,
is about right. a suicide pilot.
But
and you're like,
but
I would like this
I'm
delicious.
Pretty
somehow
sure
not
though,
the same, though,
I'm fairly. I'm fairly
not the
certain.
Same. Fairly? It's not the same. I don't think it's not. I don't think it's the same.
Can I
really
I
kamikaze
say,
pilots
I,
were suicide? Like it would
yeah,
be. Like,
I know what they were.
Like imagine if you had this little
I'm
snack
sure
where you're
you
just
can't
sort of
get that in Japan though. You cannot yeah. order a kamikaze. Although you can get your fucking you can get a B-52.
You want to hear my argument on this? You want to hear my argument on this? Where I stand on this? I'm saying kamikaze, fine. Okay, yeah. The dudes, the pilots in Japan who like flew their planes, terrible.
Would
awful,
you eat jihad hummus?
Not the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
no!
I would. Absolutely.
How is it not the same?
First
I
of all, yes, I would. I'm with Kyle. I would.
Yeah. How is it not the same?
I mean, okay, because kamikaze, because today, kamikaze could be a term used today if they'd started doing that shit again. Like, you know, knock on wood, hopefully it won't happen. But
yep.
I'm saying the IR, the car bomb reference,
yep.
an Irish car bomb,
yep.
is like what Kyle's saying, it's, sort,
yep.
it's almost a reference to a specific period of time and a specific like rash
yeah.
of incident. I don't know. I'm sort of losing my
mind. Like, you go into like a Guildford pub and like order an Irish car bomb. I don't think they'll appreciate that very. Like I think they might look at you and just be like,
"This seems less yeah. less egregious to me." Than
but that's because you don't feel any link with a kamikaze pub. I'm sure people in fucking Hawaii. Don't like kamikaze. Like
that's a good point.
I should point out that Hawaii is not Japan. But
no, but
yeah.
they were
no,
Pearl Harbor.
Were there kamikaze pilots at Pearl
I don't
Harbor?
Know.
That was what. That
yes.
Was
a,
yes.
I, sure.
Yeah, because
have you not seen the fucking Ben Affleck movie? That was what Pearl Harbor was all about.
No, but I know
I was
the attack on Pearl Harbor
when I watched it.
The attack
I
on Pearl Harbor
exploding. I like
your
that.
Your first problem was only being
the attack on Pearl Harbor is like half
really
of the fucking
was.
Planes didn't have enough fuel to fucking make it back. It was a one way attack.
Was it?
Yeah.
That was
so okay. I want to go. There's an amazing Bill Bryson is one of my favorite authors, and he tells these great stories that actually were the impetus for my fringe show from last year called The No Bullshit History of Canada. One of the stories that he tells is about a man named Ray Bujewick. This was a guy that was like an amateur pilot.
Is my sister
in the
here?
And is she? I don't know. I would.
Your
I don't
sister?
Even know who your sister is. So, is she a? Does she have a beard like you?
No, but she has hair like me.
Okay, she's got the semi Bieber.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Okay,
let's go on.
That's cool though. Walter's busy texting and looking for his sister in the bar.
That's fine. This is very similar.
Let me get
to the
microphone
first
a little bit closer. You're showing up small.
Am I doing the thing?
Just getting a little closer.
Get a little closer.
A little closer. Right,
is this good? Is this?
Wow. You're an asshole.
Do we like
yeah, that's
it?
Fine. So,
we like it. We like
Billy
it.
Kujwick.
We like it. Sexy
Billy
like
Kujwick.
This.
No, Ray Bujewick.
That is not.
Yeah, I don't. But he was a an amateur pilot that was living in Hawaii in the 1940s. And one day, December 6th, 1942, he decided on like, hey, I'm gonna just go on a. Let's go flying, right?
Yeah.
So he got on his little like. Piece of shit Cessna or whatever that is, and just started flying out, you know, heading west, and all of a sudden comes upon like 1,000 Japanese fighter planes like coming directly at him. Now, not knowing that the, you know, the attack on Pearl Harbor was coming. Can you imagine what he must have been like, that flying out and all of a sudden it looks as though all of Japan wants to kill him? He's like, ah! They started shooting at him. He was able to make it out alive, but it's like, ah, it's fucked up. Like, to be that guy for that moment, it's got to be the most fucked up moment of your life, when it looks like an entire nation wants to murder you for no reason.
For some reason, I thought of the scene in, I think, Robotech.
Yes.
Where...
there you go. That's very
funny. He flies up and you just see the fucking Zentradi Armada. Is he in the fan jet or some shit?
I don't remember.
Because he's like Rick Hunter was the stunt pilot. I think he's in, like, the fan jet.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're sick, like, he's like, woo, I'm a little stunt pilot. Then you see the Zentradi Armada's like, dun dun.
Exactly. Well, in this case, not even another nation, but aliens. Yeah. Aliens coming to murder specifically you. Yeah, yeah. 50 foot tall aliens exactly. Coming to murder you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and on that note, I'm actually going to go over and get myself another drink. So you can. You can yeah, exactly.
Intermission. Kyle Allen, everybody. We're not doing the applause thing
anymore. I was going to say.
We're not doing the applause thing anymore? Okay.
Yeah, go grab a beer. All right,
cool.
Well, can Keith and I just keep chatting? We're just for the sake of.
Yes, you can.
All right.
You want to hear me make a phone call on the podcast? Can I make a phone call on the podcast?
I'd really rather not. I was going to say, I was like, don't both leave at the same time, because it'll just be me talking to myself.
When Kyle gets back, I'm going to make a phone call.
Okay, but let's seriously shit on Kyle a little bit while he can't hear us.
Hey, can my sister talk on the
podcast? You want to jump in the podcast, Katia?
Hi!
otherwise, Walter's just going to act like you did.
Hey, I'm Katia.
I'm just going to fuck with the thing that you're doing, the criminal record thing that you're not supposed to have. Yeah, if you're going to talk, you should put the headset on.
Put the headset on. Headset on. Headset on. Katia Ling, everybody.
Yo.
Yeah, you don't need to have the things like
you don't put the headset on. You've been replaced.
Oh, my God. I've been replaced. That was fast. Okay, Katia, get the headset off. You're gone.
Get on out of here, useless. You crazy kid. Bow, 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 bow,
bow. I feel violated on some level.
You're
about to feel violated on more of a level.
Wait, sorry, hang on. Is Walter gonna rape me? What's that?
He might. It's really weird though. He's going to WrestleMania in a couple weeks, and like
Walter's been dealing with a lot of stuff.
And he's just sort of like, I don't think he's fully realized that, like, he's not always in a wrestling promo, or by not always I mean he's never in a wrestling promo.
Right.
He can't make that discernment.
You know what else I got mysteries, by the way? And then there's not so much of a mystery following, like, the bump I took off of that clothesline.
Yeah.
I think I bruised my coccyx a little bit. Or if not so much the coccyx, then a little bit of the bum muscle there, because I got less padding than I did, like, a few weeks ago. And, I was a little stiff the next day, I got to say. I got to learn how to take
that
off.
That happened to Marina Sirtis when she was filming an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. So you're in good company.
Deanna Troi?
I did the show on Wednesday and I had a professional wrestler.
Right.
I came out like dressed like a professional wrestler. And then
not dressed like Marina Sirtis.
Is that Deanna Troi?
Yeah, that is Deanna Troi.
The ship's counselor who gets to sit on the bridge, because that makes fucking sense.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, so this dude runs by me beforehand. He's like, okay, I'm gonna put you in an arm lock. I'm going to put you in a headlock. I'm going to put you in
Wait a second. You figured this out beforehand? This is not all... It doesn't just happen?
No.
And it isn't real... Oh, my God. Veil is being lifted over my eyes at this
thing,
point.
Though.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I'm like, oh, cool. We're planning it out. He's telling me what he's going to do. He's like, just go with it. I'm obviously not going to hurt you. I'm like, obviously.
Yes.
So I'm like, this is going to be like no
Come
sweat.
On. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to... This is going to be like, you know, like a pillowy
the,
hug.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
going
to be like a hug, you know? So we go into this thing.
He's what, 6'6"?
He's like a large man.
Yep.
He starts putting these holes on me. I'm like, oh, shit, this actually hurts.
Yeah.
and then he's like, okay, and then, like, lastly, I'm going to clothesline you. Are you okay with, like, you know, falling? I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll fall. So, like, and like, I sold that, like, that clothesline. Like,
you oversold.
I definitely oversold.
I think that's the only way to go.
I went ass over tea kettle, you know, and I was like, yeah, I was a little stiff the next day, yeah.
It's a good story, buddy.
Thank you.
So to talk at least at some point, yeah, when you're texting here.
Trying to figure out exactly what our previous guest's last question was.
Oh, okay,
oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Oh, that's right, because you've got to be doing this thing.
Did we even get to the questions with him?
Yeah, we did.
But
you know, you were really rushing through them, though. You were like, I got somewhere to be. Hurry it up. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
Like, that was your actual...
That was actually a direct quote.
You were healing it up a little bit. Yeah. And by little, mean like.
Okay, so
yeah.
This comedy troupe.
Yes. We should. I mean, like, so yeah.
Tim Diamond.
Tim Diamond, Ryan Hipgrave, and myself.
All right.
It took a little while for me to actually put it together because after the Dancing Cock Brothers, kind of like we didn't even disband. We just kind of stopped doing things at one point, and it was just like, I realized this
like
wasn't
Dire Straits.
Yeah, exactly. And then. Yes, I understand. Thank you, Walter. We will keep it going, even though, yes, I understand. Thank you, Walter.
So, great.
Yeah, that's good. That was very subtle what Walter did there. I decided, fuck it. This is not going to happen unless I make this happen. So I tried to put together another sketch comedy troupe. And it was a fucking process to do so because I got together a bunch of very funny people in one room and decided, like, all right, let's try and do this. Let's do some sketching. And what I found was amazing is that there really is a group dynamic that has to work out. Otherwise, it ain't happening. Because I got people like that person.
Yeah, from the show.
From the show. And then that other one that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
All these great names,
stand-up resumes on all these guys
in comedy that I'm forgetting all of them now. But anyway,
but it's okay because they didn't make the cut.
They didn't
right?
make the cut because we were there, and it was like it was amazing because we're like, you're very funny, and I've always seen you on stage, and I laugh my balls off, and here you are trying to pitch ideas to me. And I don't even. Are you even speaking English?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like I was. It was this really weird thing about watching somebody that I thought was hilarious, and then trying to work with them was just an absolute nightmare. So I actually went through a bunch of iterations about trying these people and that people and whatever, and it didn't work out. And then finally, I was. I mean, Ryan was one of the guys that I always wanted there because you know I worked with him a lot and he lives right next door and it was yeah well that was
there's a lot of good things
I didn't want
going
to
on.
Walk very far to go exactly. to rehearsal was the important thing but actually I was at Ryan's apartment building they often have parties on the roof where just people just show up to there and Timothy Diamond was one of the guys who showed up and I looked at him like this guy's more of an actor than a comedian. But I'd always found him very, very funny, and I said,
"He's done comedy stuff.
He's done comedy, but he's like
usually acting.
And this is the amazing thing is that from having him in the group and doing stuff, I sometimes forget that that he's an actor first and a comedian second.
Okay.
Because yeah, I mean, he did this thing for me the other day that I thought was absolutely amazing. He showed me his impersonation of the first time that he watched the first season finale of Game of Thrones,
okay.
where he was just watching and
spoilers for Game of Thrones.
I mean, like, I haven't seen it. Have you seen it? I'm going to
yes.
spoil it anyways, because apparently Sean Bean gets his fucking head cut off.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
That's
so,
awesome.
He was talking, like, he reenacted it for me, right? Where he's sitting there just watching his TV, like, happy as a clam, eating some popcorn or something like that, and then all of a sudden Sean Bean gets his fucking head cut off, and, like, his face just drops. And it was brilliant. I saw that. I was laughing, but at the same time, I'm like, motherfucker, this is a good actor. So that is now a sketch that we do, you know, in our show, is that Tim Diamond's reenactment of that moment.
You really don't think it's going to happen either.
Sorry?
You really don't think that he's going to
get saved? Is that what's... Yeah, I've never seen
the show. You're
watching
it, you're
watched
like,
the first
something's going to happen. Yeah. He's going to get saved.
Well, this is what Tim was thinking, right?
Yeah.
He was like, wait, I can't wait to see how he's going to be saved. I can't wait. And then, schlink, and then it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then,
the best part about that scene is they even, like, they build it up where it looks like he's about to get off. And, like, he has to, like, basically swallow his pride. Characters never swallowed his pride in the entire season.
Yeah.
Always lives by his principles. And finally, like, he basically decides that, like, he's more important to, say, like, his kids and stuff alive.
Right.
So he, like, swallows his pride for the first time ever. Fucking admits to crimes he didn't commit.
Yep.
Throws himself at the mercy of the king.
Yep.
In exchange for a pre-agreed pardon. And then the king's like, ha ha, thanks to the...
I'm going to murder the shit
thanks
out of
anyways.
You. Yeah.
Boom. And you're like, no!
Oh, yeah. And then it just fades to black.
I read the book, so I knew it was coming. But
I
loved watching it with Sarah, who hasn't. And she was like, what? And
well, it's been spoiled for me now. I imagine I'll watch it one of these days, and I'm sure I'll
it's just a bit like that moment
yeah.
is the moment where, like, you kind of get the, like, the impression watching the first season and even reading the first book that you're like, this is not a, like, a standard fantasy story.
Gotcha.
And, like, a lot of the rules don't apply. Yep. That moment is, like, fucking none of the rules apply,
motherfucker.
Is it like,
because it's basically, he's your main character, isn't he?
Sort of.
He's certainly in the type, He's painted
as the main character.
He's painted, and he's somewhat of a heroic figure, and it's also like it's also Sean Bean, and you're like, Sean Bean ain't gonna die. They gotta bring Sean Bean back for season two, and no, then they just murder the shit out of him. All right.
Exactly. And it's just sort of like it sets the tone.
Yeah.
To be like, it doesn't matter if you're a good guy or a bad guy, whatever. Like, if you get yourself into a shitty situation, you might just die.
Yeah.
Because like, you're like, there's no reason. Like, just because you're the main villain, just because you're the main hero, doesn't mean that like. Like, and stuff happens like that all the time. Like, you'll have a character who's, like, integral to, like, all these plots and schemes.
Yeah.
Just ends up in the wrong place at the wrong time, dead in the middle of the book. And you're like, but all those schemes! And then the characters need to, like, deal with these, like, half-completed... It's so good.
That sounds interesting. I watched the first 15 minutes of the first episode, and I was bored to death.
The first episode is awful.
Because what I've understood is because I had the same thing with The Wire. I watched the first episode, I'm like, fuck, I'm never watching this shit again. And then I watched it again... like months later, and I was like, "This is the most brilliant show on television."
Yeah.
So I'm given to understand Game of Thrones has a similar sort of feel to it.
What happens is that every episode is about 100 pages of book, right? And you're so like a lot of.
I don't think it's like that exact.
It's very, very close, dude.
How could you figure that out?
Because I read the books.
Math. That's how you could figure it out.
I read the books.
Math, bitch.
Except for like the fucking this upcoming season where they're like dividing like one book into two seasons.
That's next.
Yeah.
Listen,
so there goes your
equation.
No, book four,
right out the window.
Book four and book five is different. In the first season, though, it's very close to about 100 pages. So, like, a lot of exposition.
I'm really enjoying this thing I know nothing about, by the way.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
In terms of storytelling,
yes.
100 pages for a book to fucking set things up is not a lot in a 1,000-page book.
Of course not.
But to watch an hour of exposition, you're like, this is dumb and boring.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, you're like, why are you putting all these pieces? I don't give a shit. No. Show me characters. Show me a sword fight.
I'm sure I'll be excited by it.
I say that to every show I've ever watched.
I'm all about vagina ghosts.
But
give me sword fights.
So this is kind of the way our troop is gone. Is that we are doing a lot of stuff right now. Is that, like the Dancing Cock Brothers are sort of our thing was that we were dirty and we were masculine and we were fucking beer soaked and whatever. And Get Off the Stage is a lot more about like we're just doing whatever we seem to think is funny. And
okay.
So it's taken a bit of an absurdist turn.
Okay.
I wrote a sketch about a book publishing magnate. That's illiterate because I thought that would be and what if like the son only discovered, you know, on the day that his father was leaving the company to him that he doesn't know how to read and he just never seemed like it was an important thing to him. Like come on, you can't learn everything, can you? I don't know how to speak Latvian and I don't know how to read. Get off my case.
You know that expression, you can't judge a book by a cover?
Yep.
Wrong. That expression is wrong. I made a career of doing it.
Yes. This is the most, we are the most successful book publishing company in the world, and I did it just by judging books by their cover.
Exactly.
God damn it. Because that's all I'm capable of doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't even read the title.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what my name is, because I literally cannot read.
Pronunciation. How's it going, Walter? You're back.
I'm back.
Is he?
I've said a couple of things.
Yeah. you took a phone call? How was that?
I didn't take a phone call.
Okay. To drop it.
I'm noticing both of you on your smartphones, though. You're just like a little texting and a little fiddling.
No. I'm actually in the process of
business.
Downloading last week's episode.
You're trying to figure out what the questions
were. And then I'm
going to
go to the bathroom in a few minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to listen to it real quick.
Smooth.
And then...
I'm really glad that I've decided to be once again part of this very well-oiled,
you better be
professional.
Fucking glad. You don't have to be a part of it at all.
Listen,
you
yet, don't have to be a part of it at all. No, you're right. I was wrong to criticize Walter. My mistake. Yeah, I bow myself before you. Yeah, in supplication of
where can you see is the show coming up? The first show ever?
Oh, shit. I should probably tell you when it's happening.
Exactly. Like, I made this new comedy troupe, and it's amazing, but currently we just hang out in my
45 minutes into the show, I will mention that it is, April 5th.
That's where it goes.
5th. Yeah,
it goes
sure.
45 minutes.
Why not? April 5th, Friday, April 5th, at 10 o'clock at Montreal Improv Theater. Great little place on St. Laurent near Pine.
Right.
That is where we're doing the show. I'm thinking it's going to be costing us... or it's going to be costing you, the viewer, listener, watcher of the $8 is what I'm going to say, and I think that will actually be correct when you show up there.
But
so come
how
and check
much
us out.
Will it cost me, morally speaking?
Morally speaking, the price is, let's face it, going to be much more expensive than that.
I think.
But actual paper money, you're just going to need to throw out $8. That's it. Your soul will have a much higher toll.
On that evening, though, Walter has two shows.
You're busy. You're not going to be able to make it.
April 5th. You're
in
Nexitude.
Because I already asked him.
That's a whole thing.
Because I said,
But the thing is that if your show's at 10, you're doing an early and a late. So you could do both.
I'm not doing the early and the late.
I thought you were doing an early and a late.
No,
on
just
April 5th.
The late, and now it's probably not even happening on the 5th anymore.
We actually.
Well, then fine.
So we already. We already established this. I actually asked Walter if he would do stand up.
Totally asked me.
Before the show even started, I said, Walter, will you do stand up for us?
For me.
And he said,
open it.
Shit, no. Absolutely.
He's like, I'm an actor.
Will I lower myself to that level?
Not going to happen.
Hells no.
Nope.
But then he gave me the name of a couple of shitty comedians that he thinks are probably like desperate enough for work that they'll do something.
Name names.
Yeah. I've forgotten it
Walter
already.
Ling.
What?
Huh?
Walter Ling? Yeah.
exactly.
And I said no. I said thank you, but I can find somebody
thank
else.
Thank you, sir, but yeah. I have standards.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, Walter, I feel really bad for you. You're like cozying up in your little jacket. You just looks like you're going to go to sleep soon. You gonna take a little nap?
Last time I came here,
he slept underneath the newspaper.
Yep. He slept under the world's largest crossword puzzle, I believe, or at least Montreal's largest crossword
which
puzzle.
Which I'll say now, did not provide the world's largest amount of warmth.
I don't think it would.
Fun fact.
How do hobos do it?
It's just, do they do it?
How do they do it, man?
They're pretty amazing, aren't
exactly.
they?
Exactly.
They must use like the Sunday like New York Times or something.
Hobo culture isn't the same as it once was, though, because hobo culture used to be about riding the trains, right? And you can't so much do that.
This is coming up again.
What? I love hobos.
No, remember the train signals? It was with Ryder.
Huh?
Like hobo scratch, like the like
hobo scratch,
hobo
well,
code.
I'm a fan.
Listen, Walter, you're just sitting there being all quiet and sleepy. You're gonna talk about hobo code.
Listen, I am a fan of John Hodgman, and John Hodgman goes on in great detail about.
Is
just,
that
hobo,
even a thing? It's never existed. This is a fucking social construction.
No, I will not live in a world where hobo scripture does not exist.
Listen, if
Jonathan Hodgman says it's real, then it is real. It has
Hodgman,
to be.
What do you mean, like the PC guy?
Yes, the PC.
Yeah.
With Justin Long and the commercials and the thing.
For serious, what is hard to understand about hobo code?
It's not hard to understand. I understand the concept. It just doesn't make sense that it ever even existed. I believe it is a societal construction.
Why would it not make sense?
Hobos want to preserve the hobo culture, and of course they would be willing to leave, you know, signs to let people know, is this a favorable spot to get yourself a little bit of a bit.
Are you getting a text message from your fact checker?
Our fact checker points out that an episode of Mad Men
makes
reference to the hobo code, apparently.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Then I think it's true. I think that's if it's on Mad
Men,
it must be.
If you're a hobo and a farmer gives you milk or food or whatever, you leave a little etch on his fence.
But
they're like,
fucking hobos. When do they fucking all meet up together and decide what the fucking code is going to be?
No. It's through years. It's through osmosis. You just sort
exactly.
of you learn it after.
Nope.
Once you're riding the rails,
nope.
you happen to know. That's it. You go, Keith. You go and go to the – Keith is off to the
you
bathroom.
You go poop
now.
Out some questions, Keith.
He's going to go and listen to last week's episode. Is this what he's doing? He's listening to last week's episode in order to try and find out what the questions are.
I'll tell you what the questions were.
Okay. What are their questions?
Why?
Should we start? Why? Is that it? Is that the first question?
And why not?
What? What? I don't know what's going on anymore. We have to keep talking.
Yes.
The show is still happening. Walter, you got to help me out here. I can't do this. So I cannot do your show for you.
Did you ever watch wrestling at all?
Okay, so wrestling. I want to know because you asked me before if I'm a wrestling fan, and I can tell you, I approach wrestling in the same way that I approach any sporting event.
Which is?
Is that I can get into it if I am there with a fan.
Uh-huh.
I tell you once. Okay. I went out to go and pick up an ounce of pot, because you have to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
When you're out.
Sure.
Right? Okay.
This is pre-anxiety medication, I think?
Maybe. This is perhaps during. I don't know. Who knows?
Right.
Okay. Anyway, you grind it up and snort it.
Yeah, you snort the pot.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very effective. So I went over to his place, and for whatever reason, it just wasn't readily available. He had to go off and do something. So he says, just sit on the couch here with these other stoners and watch the football game. I had never seen a football game in my entire life, but I was there sitting with football fans. Could explain, and I was baked, they were as well. And they explained to me what was going on, and it was the most amazing experience ever. Now, also, it was a brilliant game, because it was like the were playing the okay. And it was a foregone conclusion. Right. Was going to win.
Was going to win.
Was absolutely handily. It was just a matter of running out the clock. And then it would happen. It was not a Super Mario game, but it was close lead up to it. It was like, it was an important game that, like, whoever wins is going to go to the quarterfinals of the Super. So we're sitting there watching it, and we're like, all right, we know this is going to end. But what ends up happening is the Mizzou did just a horrible play. It was just like a complete dumbass move of like, they're like 5 yards from a touchdown, and so they decide to do a passing play or something like that, right? And what happened? Gets intercepted. They go over.
Right there, Kyle. We don't do sports analogies.
We don't do sports analogies.
No.
I
stop the sports. He's so far into it now.
Just give up.
Bail.
Yeah. So
they were just being polite.
But anyway, they were able to tie the game, and it went to overtime. And what ended up happening was I was sitting there riveted, because it went to three overtime periods, right? Sudden death. All you need. Oh, now Walter's leaving. So all you need is just to get any points wherever. But what ended up happening is that it was play after play of the most shitty football, like asinine grade school football playing ever. That all you needed was like just one point, and everyone just kept giving up the ball to everyone else. Except for one moment that was absolutely brilliant, where there was an onside kick, and we saw, you know, kick the ball comes, and one of the players comes over and runs over and grabs it. And then when they were showing it in slow motion, they showed that it was the kicker, the guy who kicked the ball, who managed to catch it. He shot it out in a way that it bounced back towards him, and he knew exactly where it was to like run over, and like you could see on the TV, here's this guy coming in slow motion, just jumping up in the air, going and grabbing the ball, that he knew exactly how the ball was going to bounce, so he could bounce back and like actually grab it himself. It was like, wow, I'm excited in football and stoned. So that's probably the other.
I was like, I don't know the beginning of this story, but this is a great ending.
So this is all to say, am I a wrestling fan? No. However, if I'm sitting next to a wrestling fan watching a wrestling match, I can get really into it. If someone's there explaining, like, giving me the backstory between, two competitors and, like, what's going on, and then I can get totally into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is T-Chad. T-Chad did the same thing. T-Chad had nothing to do with wrestling.
Right.
And then me and Sophie have taken to watching it during the week. And he started to come by, and now he's, like, getting into it.
Yeah.
You need to – my argument for wrestling is the same as my argument for terrible horror films.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, there's, like, a set of rules that are almost invariably going to make a shitty product.
Yes.
But, like, within that shitty product, you're, like – you start to appreciate any amount of, like, creativity or goodness that comes out of that shitty product, knowing that the set rules are shitty.
Well, I think
like watching a bad horror movie, you're watching it partially
true.
Because
exactly.
It's
okay.
Bad.
Yeah, exactly. So if you know the conventions of the horror film, then you can sit there and be excited about like you know the because you're looking for the kills, right?
Yeah.
In that case.
Or like the tropes.
Yeah.
And, like,
exactly.
Whatever. And it's the same thing with wrestling. We're like, oh shit, this is going to be a heel turn. This is a screw job. This is a pipe bomb or whatever. Like all the different tropes and stuff.
Well, I think also is that when you get to professional wrestling. It's equal parts athleticism and soap opera,
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
the sort of thing is like if you try and jump in, you know, say your girlfriend is into soap operas. You can't just jump in and watch the show with her one day because it'll suck. But if she's there and explaining, like, you know, okay, oh, the evil twin of that guy came over. For, and then you can be, holy shit, wonder what's going to happen. And like, he's in a coma. And but she doesn't know that,
The WWE just did that, essentially, with, like, Undertaker's coming back to wrestle the WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But, like, if you had zero knowledge of the wrestling world.
Yeah.
They're like, this guy in a hood comes out.
Yeah.
Fucking people go ape shit.
Yeah.
There's lightning, there's smoke. He just stands there, looks at the ring, then turns back, and everybody's like, holy shit. And you're like, but nothing happened. A guy, music played, a guy came out, he looked at the ring, didn't say a word, turned around, walked back in, but you're like, that's important.
It's similar, actually, to getting into comic books again. Is that, like, it takes a little while for you to understand where your character's at or what's happening with them. So it's like you pick up your first issue and you don't give a shit. After you read a few more and then you know what's going on, then you can get excited about this.
Exactly. Like, now, apparently, we talk about this on 90S. Apparently, right now in Spider-Man, Dr. Octopus has taken over Spider-Man's brain.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're like, in Amazing Spider-Man, it's not Peter Parker. It's Dr. Octopus is Spider-Man right now.
Walter just broke the equipment.
Hand over the equipment, and I'll ask the first question while I fix this.
No, I'll fix it. I don't want to fix it.
So yes,
I can fix it.
So Keith, you went off. You took a piss.
Yep.
You listened to last week's episode very briefly.
Yep.
And you know now exactly what needs to be done.
What the fourth question is?
Yeah, okay.
First question.
First question.
You've answered these before. Though.
I have.
This is really strange.
I was gonna say, has he done these questions?
Yeah.
I've done some of these questions before.
Well, you've done three of them before.
Okay.
Maybe we're going to have to see a change. We're just going to roll. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to make up.
Who knows?
I'm going to make up.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Am I reading?
I'm going to make up three new questions.
It's good thinking out these ear parts on these things.
I wasn't prepared. I had pre-programmed answers, and now what am I going to do?
Do you want to make up three questions because he's done the first three before?
No, let's just do the same questions.
Really? Okay.
How's that question first? Who's your favorite heel pro wrestler?
We've got a
question two.
Division.
Who's your favorite
Walter Link. Okay.
Who's your favorite wrestling announcer?
Walter Link. Okay, all right.
Question
three.
Question one.
Okay.
Walter Link. Your favorite childhood plaything?
It's not going to be Walter Link then. That's it.
Hey.
I did answer this question before. It was Optimus Prime.
Right.
Or no, not Optimus Prime. Omega Supreme.
So what we're going to do is we're going to change all the questions to your second.
My second favorite?
Yeah. What is your second favorite childhood?
It's going to be another Transformer then. It's going to be Metroplex.
Fine. All right, that's What the fuck kind of rich kid were you? You had Metroplex and Omega Supreme?
Now the conversation's coming back because you just made the same rich kid comment
time.
Yeah.
Exactly! I was like, it's bad enough that he had Omega Supreme. This fucking kid had Metroplex.
I know, I had Metroplex as well. You know what it was? Is that, like, I think my parents didn't totally understand how toys worked and shit like that because, you know, we had a bunch of people that, like, had a bunch of.
You only had Metroplex and Omega
Supreme. And I had a Metroplex and Omega Supreme and no one else.
Exactly.
And
you got one toy every 8 months.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
like,
as opposed to a toy every couple weeks.
Yeah, there wasn't too much. You couldn't interact, the two of them, very much, right? Because one was a goddamn rocket ship and the other one was a fucking city, right? And so it's like, you couldn't.
Rocket ship train station.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, but it just went in a circle, and then whatever. But
go anywhere.
But yeah, you couldn't do much. All you had the little tiny like wheelie dude that like was very similar to the wheelie that was in the back of Optimus Prime's big rig there. But yeah, it led to kind of boring. Like things ended up like a little bit more like Episode One, right? Star Wars Episode One. Space battles, it was all like. Civil planning and like just zoning restrictions and shit like that.
They can't really fight because they're not very articulate.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they're very big toys, but they don't move.
Well, that's it. He's like, you can't Metroplex. It doesn't even make sense, right? Because they don't even exist in the same time frame.
Like
and it's like, yeah, they're both Transformers, but they're I don't know.
I'm just trying to anticipate how to alter the second question.
Okay.
Well, it's your second favorite drink.
Because what was my first?
I don't know, man.
Strawberry flavored milk
was. So that was the question. What was my favorite drink?
Yeah.
I have no idea what I answered.
Strawberry, well, what's your second favorite drink?
What's my second favorite drink?
Exactly.
I have to consider what my first favorite drink
doesn't
is.
Doesn't matter.
And then
think of what your favorite drink is now, even if it isn't your favorite drink.
It's Original Four Loko. is what it is.
Okay, so
good choice.
Sorry. I'm gonna take that back. A Flaming Homer. That is my favorite.
Have you ever made one?
No, but it sounds like you have, though. It really sounds like you
it's
have.
It's gross.
Is it? Yeah.
Children's cough syrup and alcohol is not a mix.
But did you set it on fire? I mean,
yes.
It had to.
Homer
it
Simpson was Tussin before it was fucking popular.
Yeah, it doesn't set on fire either.
No, I don't imagine it. Well, I mean, I imagine for it to set on fire, you have to throw in plenty booze.
Yeah, to get the to fucking
or rubbing alcohol, let's say.
Counteract the fucking.
Question the third is what?
What is your second favorite time you ever had?
What is
your second most favorite time ever had?
The question was originally
what was your favorite time you ever had?
Favorite time I ever
like,
had.
Was your
best time
thing?
Ever had.
Best
like
time.
Best,
what was your best time ever?
Best time ever?
You're like, you know.
You did. I think you talked about.
Railing
you talked
two
about skydiving?
Into Tijuana,
the fake like, skydiving?
That
you
wasn't
that,
fun at
you
all.
Said, you
that
said that
sucked.
Was not fun. You said that was shitty.
That was shitty. I was just scared out of my balls in that one, right?
And I don't know.
Because it's all like you're put in this thing and it's
go listen to the other Kyle episode because this you did this.
I did, yeah.
You talked about this fake skydiving thing
why,
before.
And so I shouldn't talk about it again, I guess.
Okay,
I
don't talk about it at all.
But anyway,
stop now.
But it's what happened is that at one point they
just
they're
talking about it again?
Like, I'm talking uh-huh. about it again. I don't
okay,
care.
Well, this is going
to
count as
I'm,
the answer
I'm,
to this question.
I'm healing.
And we're going to go on.
This
healed.
Is your
no, you
and
can't
this is officially on the record the second best time you've ever had.
It's both the first. It's such a good time. It was both the first.
If it wasn't the
time.
First, he hated it.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's secondly also the second best worst time that I.
Two episodes in, we haven't figured out what Kyle's best time is yet.
Is you go in and they're like, "Do you want to like be shot up in the air 30 feet?" And I'm just kind of like, "Yeah, shit, why not?" Like that. And they you go 30 feet in the air and it's terrifying. It's terrifying because I'm like, now I'm gonna fall 30 feet and die. Now, probably not, because then they'd have insurance problems.
And you might break your leg.
And what?
Why don't you break your leg instead of dying?
Okay, I thought
maybe
you said
like
and you might
bottom.
Get laid. I'm like, how is that going to happen?
Oh, my goodness. If you were both wearing suits, do you think you could fuck a
okay,
girl 30
so,
feet in the air floating? All right. You're both wearing the
my
flying suits?
My second favorite experience of all time.
No, fucking a girl in a flying suit.
Was when I fucked a girl.
Not skydiving. She's just in the flying suit.
She's like, in the flying suit. We were in the
in a car. Like.
So we sort of fucked in zero gravity. It was and
that's what I'm talking about.
And then I came and that was my favorite time. But up until that point, it was my second
favorite time.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Question four.
Question four.
Question four.
I almost forgot it.
You have forgotten it.
No. It's very okay. Listen, this question is submitted to us.
Oh no, not this. Okay.
So now, hang on.
Walter's really not a fan of this question.
So now this.
He,
is,
now you, and
this
you wonder is, why I turned heel last episode.
Well,
this.
You wonder why you turned heel last episode because you knew that an hour later he was going to give a shitty
I'm
question.
I'm saying
so
after I heard that question,
so
I was glad I turned heel.
This is the question that your last guest asked of me without knowing that I was
correct.
Going to be
the last
guest
was Adam Ryder, who Walter hates.
No, I like Adam. He's a really good guy. He's doing good stuff. It's just that you know he's full
I
of
like
shit.
I like Adam Ryder.
Yeah,
I like it too.
It's
good party.
Adam Ryder.
He does good work.
We're just doing nonstop nonstop West Island guests is actually what's
awesome.
Happening.
Sweet. Yeah.
So what was his? So what was his?
Would you rather
Adam's
a duck?
Went to high question. School with that guy.
Would you rather? Would you rather a duck?
Sorry, that's the question.
Yeah.
Would I rather a duck?
This is what I'm talking about.
And there's no second part to
this
it.
This is what I'm talking
but
about.
But like versus.
He's all like he'll know.
Answer the goddamn
<He'll>
question.
That's what I said. I was like,
he'll
I'm
get
like,
it.
Listen, he's a West Islander. He's my boy. Yes.
Yes.
Is my answer.
Final answer.
I would. My final answer.
I'm sorry,
is,
that's incorrect.
I would rather. What?
Question five.
I fucked this up.
Moving on to question
it's my
five.
My opinion, and I screwed it.
God damn it!
Wrong.
Five.
You've
these,
officially
one of these
lost.
Days, I'll get it right.
You've officially lost at this
Son
podcast.
Of a bitch.
Walter is fucking tripping
this
balls
is all,
over there.
This is all I've ever hoped for was to
got the Jimmy Jam.
Was to win at four questions or
five.
Five
questions,
five questions is
yes.
that what it's called?
Now you can redeem yourself if you submit a good question for the next.
So
exactly. This
you're,
is a,
you're saying is what I shouldn't ask is would you rather a duck?
And they say, why wouldn't you rather?
Why wouldn't rather a duck?
Why would you rather a duck? The final question is worth 600 points.
Is it?
And
yeah.
It
so
is,
I could turn this game around. I could
good.
Win this.
You could win it.
From losing it that I already
have. I think
had.
You're at about negative, let's say, 400.
So I could
so
get
could,
200.
You could finish
I could
positive
finish with
200.
Positive 200 points. That's not bad.
Where?
I could live with that.
We're into the Blitzkrieg round.
Mm-hmm. That's like a kamikaze roll. You don't say that.
Yes, you can.
What question would you like to ask about future
question
guest?
What?
Walter, do you need to take a piss or something?
He's tripping. Like, I'm the guy who drank the big Monster Energy drink, and Walter's like, give it a ball! Yeah, yeah. Like, flipping out over
here. He's like, his knee is twitching like I ain't never seen before.
But, like, do you have somewhere to be?
Nah, I'm just fucking stressed.
All right.
Sexy, where's that anxiety pills, man? Like,
somas.
I want to see
somas! Bring out the somas!
Question.
Okay, so now I'm gonna ask this.
Ask about somas.
But now I'm somewhat self-doubting myself.
That doesn't matter
because I'm not sure if this is the exact same thing that I asked last time.
You should. It'd be great.
But if it is, fuck it. I would like to know of your next guest that I'm a big fan of. By the way,
I've
loved all of their stuff.
That's great.
It is. It's amazing. I would like to know what is the greatest book that they've never read.
They've never read.
What is their favorite? What is the best book?
If you're listening,
that they have not
that's a fucking question. That's a good question, Ryder.
Do you want to answer the question?
I want to ask a question myself.
I think we can answer the question ourselves now.
I just want to ask how many somas. What's the most amount of somas you've ever taken while still being able to drive a truck? That's my question.
Jake the Snake, 100.
100.
100. It was a big rig too.
The greatest book that I have never
read. It's a book that changed your life and you haven't read it.
I would say The Godfather.
It's fuck. I haven't read that either, and holy shit.
Yeah.
Is that a book?
The Godfather is the greatest book that I was like. Because it's like I feel like I've read it because I've seen the film.
Because you've seen the movie.
I'm going to say every Goosebumps book I never read.
Yeah.
You're like, I've read a lot of them.
But there's a lot that I didn't, and it's a big regret.
I have a similar answer. Nancy Drew. Like all of them. Yep. All of them. Never read a single one, but goddamn.
You know what I remember hating as a kid? Hmm? At some point,
she's a hell of a super sleuth.
I guess it doesn't matter because, like, Meryl doesn't listen to this. But at one point, I got a box set of the Boxcar Children novels.
Yeah.
It was like a compilation.
They're awful. Disappointing.
They're terrible.
I liked Encyclopedia Brown a lot more.
I keep
the Boxcar Children.
They're homeless children.
They were homeless children. A family adopted them, but for some strange
reason, they
still hung
out in a fucking boxcar.
Kept the boxcar that the children used to live in the backyard.
It's because they were institutionalized.
Because they're hobos, and it's scrawled with all of their hobo language.
Full circle.
Oh, goddamn! Yes. Oh, I took it back, baby!
Hells yes!
But Walter says that the hobo speak doesn't exist.
Only in fucking fiction novels about neglected children.
But yeah, full chill full? Fucking four kids that were abandoned.
Did you just say full chill full?
Full chill full. Four children who were abandoned or whatever, then adopted by a family. They lived in a boxcar. Now the boxcar's behind the house.
The boxcar is all they've ever known.
And they solve crimes.
You can't take that away from them.
It's the crime-fighting base. It's the Batcave for them.
The homeless are the greatest superheroes ever known.
They're the greatest generation.
They are the new detectives. They are the new Batman.
As a kid, though, I was always like, these boxcar kids are bullshit, and Encyclopedia Brown would have solved this fucking, like, 100 pages
ago. Is that what the boxcar kids even did? Was it mysteries?
Yes, it was mysteries!
Oh, fuck. I never even gotten through, like, the first 20 pages of that fucking novel.
Because, like, Encyclopedia Brown would solve, like, 10 mysteries
a book.
Those kids. Right?
Boxcar
and fucking, like, turn you on
dick.
To be fair, his first name is Encyclopedia.
Yes.
You can't, I mean, like, you can't go wrong with that. Yeah. Like, I contain all knowledge.
What I love about Encyclopedia Brown is that there was, like, they were so withholding of the information as, like, a book. When Encyclopedia puts it together and they're like, and did you figure it out?
Yep.
And then you're like, you're trying and you're like, I'm a smart kid.
Yeah.
I fucking get A's in fucking school. Yeah. I can do this.
Do you?
And then you totally can't. And then you read the solution. And you're like, you asshole fucking book. Nobody could put this together. They're like, because the egg, of course, was hard boiled. And you're like, no, you didn't say that. You just like, they withheld information so that when Encyclopedia put it together, there was a logical conclusion. But it was just like they just deleted lines of text.
Keith Rabbit.
I'm Encyclopedia Baron, and this is Go Plug Yourself.
I'm Monster Blood. This has been Go Plug Yourself.
I thought you were the Boxcar Children.
No, fuck the Boxcar Children. I'm Monster Blood. Monster Blood for life.
Today has been the Boxcar Children.
I guess today has been R.L. Stein.
My name's Adam Ryder. You've been listening to Go and See Get Off the Stage on April 5th at Montreal Improv.
Not starring Adam Ryder.
You're still not here. Yeah. Is this a feud? Are we in a feud right now, Walter?
He put me in this neck brace. I'll make him pay, goddammit.
All right. This is Go Plug Yourself. Thanks for listening, right. Everybody.
Cheers.
Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?